Get the work done this summer and book a skip bin with Bingo. Google Bingo Bins today. Robot Building Supplies. Robots got it. On SEN, Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Great to have your company wherever you might be joining us. Jack Heaven in the chair for Dwayne's World today for Robot Building Supplies. Robots got it. And for Bingo Bins, you can book a skip bin online with Bingo this summer. Coming up this hour, Nathan Burke, the coach of the Bulldogs AFLW team and also a legend of the St Kilda Footy Club. We'll reminisce about what we saw at Moorabbin and also look forward to the Pride game when they take on Carlton this weekend. Vince Crivelli, the CEO of Melbourne United, a week off before the NBL playoffs start next week. So Melbourne taking this opportunity just to refresh, get all of their legs recharged and get all of their prime movers up and running for the Sydney Kings NBL final series, which starts next week. And we'll also talk to David Taggart. We'll try and find a few winners. Speaking of the basketball, last night, Australia took on New Zealand in the Asia Cup qualifier at the Armoury in Brisbane, Nissan Arena. And New Zealand got the job done, 108-98. Shea Ely from Melbourne United had 21 points. Ruben Tarangi had 21 points as well and played really, really well. For Brisbane Bullets supporters, they would be wondering where that was all season long. Tarangi, who was the reigning sixth man of the year coming into this season, had a shocking season. He torched them last night. And Rob Lowe had 19 points for the Aussies, who are playing a much younger team with a lot of the NBA stars unavailable and European players unavailable as well. Todd Blanchfield, 15 points. Cam Glidden, 13 points. And Jason Kadee had 13 points as well. A crowd of 3,500, which I reckon's a little bit disappointing. I thought there might have been a few more there last night. The Boomers play Hong Kong on Sunday in their next Asia Cup qualifying game. And off the speckle text from Shane, we just heard it in the news as well with Steph that there, for those of you listening in Melbourne today, in the southern parts of Melbourne, there's a huge accident. Boundary Road, Aspendale Gardens, northbound, closed off at Edith Vale Road. I reckon I'll probably would have gone home that way. I reckon I might steer clear of that one as well. 1300 736 736. That's how you can join me right across the show. I've still got some prizes to give away. Three more, in fact. Passes to the Group 1 Australian Cup Carnival, thanks to the Meadows. It's a double pass. It gets you four drink vouchers, food, entertainment, legendary greyhound racing, valued at over $100. And we've also got two lots of four tickets, Mitch is telling me, to the Melbourne Beer Festival. That might be one. I reckon some of them might be going in my back pocket before the end of the day. So lots to give away and lots to talk about as well. So give me a call, 1300 736 736. The start of the Women's T20 World Cup begins this evening. The Aussies in action first up. Laura Jolly from cricket.com.au is covering the Women's T20 World Cup and has been with the Australian camp for a couple of weeks as they build up to their opener tonight. Laura, thanks for joining us on SEN again. We appreciate it.
No, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Are we expecting, I was reading an article of yours from last night in regards to the wicket. We've seen a bit of cricket played at Giants Stadium at the showgrounds. Are we expecting a bit of a low, slow turner?
I think we're actually going to get the better of the two wickets at Showground Stadium, which is a good thing. The players tell me there's one that's pretty bad. It's always very low and slow. And then there's one that's a bit better and a bit more batting friendly, and they're pretty optimistic it's the better one that they're getting.
What would be more suitable to the Aussies? Would they, particularly with their batting lineup and the way that they play the quicker stuff, would they want the quicker wicket?
Yeah, absolutely. They played on it a couple of weeks ago when they had a warm-up match here, which was the only time most of these players have ever played at this ground. So if they can get that one again, they'll be very happy, whereas India have such a spin-heavy attack that they would have really been advantaged by the other wicket.
What are you expecting from the Aussies first up? There's been a lot of discussion. Expectation is a word that's been used a lot. I think that's natural when you're hosting an event like this, but also with the Aussies being one of the best teams in the world and having such a good record in this tournament, can you feel that they feel that expectation a little bit?
And I think they've never experienced anything like this before. They've usually, they're at least the away team at these World Cups, even if they're the favourite. They're coming into a potentially sold out game at a huge stadium where maybe half the crowd will be supporting India. Probably their toughest game of the entire group too. So this is probably the most pressure they've felt in a very long time.
Obviously the tournament can't be won in the first game, but it can go a long way to denting where you finish if you lose first up. What are you looking to see from Australia in their first game?
Hopefully they can put some of the batting issues they've had aside. They've been a bit shaky. They've managed to get over the line more often than not, but Alyssa Healy still hasn't made a double-figure score in her last six innings. So hopefully she can actually get away today and put a decent innings together and hopefully put a big score on the board.
So you think they'll persist with Alyssa at the top of the order? Because they've certainly got options if they wanted to go in a different direction.
Yeah, I don't think the start of a World Cup is the time to be changing their order. So they'll definitely stick with what they've had for the last couple of years. I think the beauty of their deep batting lineup is the way they look at it. If Alyssa comes up and she comes off, then that's great. If she goes out, they've still got such a deep order and only 20 overs to bat. So they can almost afford to give her that license.
And she'll open up with Beth Mooney, you expect?
Yeah, Beth's been in outstanding form and the two of them have been the opening partnership for a couple of years now. So I wouldn't expect that to change. The only thing that is a bit flexible is who comes in at three.
Yeah, that's probably the one that's still up for grabs. Has anyone really tried to lock it down? Meg's obviously spent a bit of time at three herself. Ash Gardner's had an opportunity in the lead-up. Elise Perry could easily go and bat at number three. That's just to name a couple, and I shouldn't forget Rachel Haynes as well. What direction do you think they might go?
They've been pretty adamant that they're taking a flexible approach in. So if Elisa goes out in the first five overs, they like to send Ash Gardner in because they see her as being a similar type of batter who will take it on the power play. And if the opening partnership extends beyond that time, or if Mooney goes out first, then Meg's going to go in at number three.
Laura Jolly from cricket.com.au joining us, covering all of the Women's T20 World Cup. You can read all of her fantastic stuff each and every day. She's pumping out yarns like no one's business at the moment. Laura, some bad news before the tournament started. Earlier in the week, we learned that Taylor Vlaminck was in a moon boot as she walked through the airport in Sydney. She's now been ruled out, unfortunately. It's a real shame, this.
Yeah, it's just devastating for her. She's had so many injuries already and she's only 21 years old. And this is just a cruel blow. She was really shaping up to be a huge part of Australia's bowling attack in this tournament, having played just the one game last time around. And it's not really fair on the youngster.
No. And she's got a long way to go. But does it change the makeup of the team a little bit? The common thought is that she would have played in this first game. So do the Aussies look to replace her with someone, obviously, who can't bowl as quick as she can because she's one of the quickest in the world, but do they go with a seam option, or could they potentially look at some slower bowling options?
Yeah, it's really thrown a spanner in the works for them 2 days out, which isn't ideal. Sutherland and Perry are the next two quickest in that attack, and I think Sutherland's a very good chance to play, particularly with Vlaminck out now. The other option is, which of the spinners are fit? Erin Burns hasn't played a game since her knee surgery. Sophie Molyneux still looked to be undergoing fitness tests last night training. And then Molly Strano's jetted in yesterday and has a really good record against some of these Indian players. So she might go from being outside the squad to being in the 11.
Yeah, now she's the bolter right now, isn't she? She was awarded last week, obviously, at the Allan Border Medal for what's been a really, really good season. Did you think that Molly would be the one that they flew in as a replacement for Taylor?
I think it was between her and Belinda Vaccarillo as the two options. And they've obviously gone for the extra spinner as opposed to another pace bowler. But I think just her record against India probably got her the edge. She's very experienced. She's played for Australia before. So if she did get thrown in, at least she's got that behind her.
Tell us about our opponent tonight, India. At 7 o'clock, the game at Giants Stadium. You'll be able to check it out on Fox Sports and KO. They've had this fascinating approach in the last 3 or 4 years where they've decided now that if they've got talented teenagers, they're not going to make them do it the hard way through the domestic system and bring them in eventually. They're playing teenagers. And because of that, they're a really watchable team.
They are. They can be a little inconsistent, but it's just so exciting to watch. They don't really have a domestic system there too, certainly not to the extent Australia or England do. So you can kind of see why they are just throwing them up to the top level. And Shefali Verma just has no fear. She could have Elise Perry and Megan Shute steaming down at her and she just doesn't care. She'll try and hit them over the rope.
So on the other side of the groups, England, they're in there with South Africa, the West Indies, Pakistan and Thailand, who are making their debuts, and they're a great story in themselves if you've seen some of the stuff on social media this week. Do you think that England, are they the strongest team in Group B?
Yeah, I think so. They seem a new outfit under the new coach, Lisa Kightley. I think they've put the disappointment of last year's Ashes behind them, and there's still a few questions around the makeup of their team. They've taken a very different tack to Australia, but I think even though they had that 10-wicket loss to Sri Lanka in a warm-up, that was a bit of an aberration. So they should finish top of their group.
Laura, thanks for joining us. It's a busy day, obviously, with the Aussies in action first up. So we appreciate your time and we'll read on all of your great stuff at cricket.com.au.
All right, thanks for having me.
Laura Jolly joining us covering the World Cup. So the late change to the squad, Taylor Vermeek out, unfortunately, for the entire tournament with a foot concern. As you just heard there, Molly Strano, the Victorian, coming in as the late inclusion. This was very much a shock to some, but if they want to go with a slower bowling option, she's in really good form at the moment. And Annabelle Sutherland could be the other big story to come out of this tournament today. She could very well play. At 18 years old, she made her debut in the Tri-Series against England and India a little early on. So from that perspective, she's now had a little bit of international experience under her belt. But this would be huge. Her brother Will is going really, really well. He's playing some good cricket for Victoria. But it'd be great for Annabelle as well. That's our cricket update for Pope's Auto Wind Hose Reel. Smoother, safer and better. The Australian men's team have their first game of the T20 series against South Africa tomorrow at 3 a.m. So if you want to set the alarm and get up nice and early, you can check that out. David Warner returns to South Africa with Steve Smith for the very first time since Sandpaper Gate. On the other side of this, we'll hear a little bit of David Warner in the lead up to the game, and Nathan Burke, the Bulldogs AFLW coach, not too far away as well.